Members of Blessed Savior Lutheran Church family, visitors with us today. I begin with a story. It's a story of a couple by the name of Anthony and Vanita, 86 and 85 years old, who lived in New Jersey. One day they went to the store, and as they went to the store, Anthony took a wrong turn. And he just kept driving and driving. He didn't ask for help. And then they stopped a couple times at gas stations to fill up with gas. And then Anthony just kept driving. He drove, I'm told, 800 miles. Two times he stopped for gas, but he would not ask for directions. It was over 24 hours later that they found their way home. Now you wonder, how did they actually get home? Well, Anthony ran into another car, had an accident, and the police were called, and the policeman gave him directions to finally get back home. Now, I tell this story because sometimes we men don't like to ask for help. We're stubborn. Right, wives, women? Okay. And that can be a problem. There's a limit to what you do without asking for help, as this story indicates. People get lost for all kinds of reasons. My message today is actually not about being lost, but being found. Our text is from Luke 15, the familiar chapter in the Bible on a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost man. Our text is the first two verses of Luke 15, the gospel reading. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Did you catch the effect in the first verse that Jesus had on sinners? They were all drawing near to hear him. There was a kind of magnetic pull to Jesus. And it wasn't idle curiosity, no, or because he might find fault with them, no. They were drawing near to him, why? Because they were hungry for his help. And I hope that's why all of us have come here this morning. We're hungry for the help of Jesus. We're drawn to this place in service because we need help. That's why we want our children and our grandchildren to come to church and Sunday school. That's why we help as teachers with Sunday school or Bible class. That's why we give out Bibles to third graders, because we know we all need the help of Scripture, the help of God's Word, the help of God's guidance. Let's talk about the particular problem of tax collectors and sinners. First, there were the tax collectors. The tax collectors were working for the Romans, who were the oppressors of the Jews. They were not well liked. And then the second reason is the tax collectors often took some of the money for themselves instead of giving it just to the Roman government. They cheated the people. And so they are in the same category as sinners. Now, who were the sinners? The sinners were the liars, the thieves, the prostitutes and murderers. Some examples. They were not the respectable people of society. They had problems. And so when Jesus came to rescue tax collectors and sinners, from their sin troubles and give them hope for the future, the Pharisees and the scribes, the Jewish leaders, had a problem with that. They had a problem. But the tax collectors and the sinners had a way to meet their needs through Jesus. Jesus gave them help. That's what we hear is the purpose of Jesus coming in 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, wrongdoers. On the other hand, I said the Pharisees and scribes had a problem with the help that Jesus was giving to those sinners. It was beneath their dignity and of any respectable person to hang around with those kind of sinners, troubled people. This man, they said, this man, Jesus, receives sinners and eats with them. Well, things haven't changed too much, I'm afraid to say. Sometimes we in a congregation aren't very fond of certain people because we recognize certain sins or wrongs or faults that they have. Members of the congregation that are sinners. But isn't the church a hospital for sinners? Oh, we want to stay in our own comfort zone. We don't want to take a chance on those certain sinners and those particular people with certain sins. Now, I have to pause right here. I'm giving a lot of law and say that this message or something close to it was given to Trinity Centralia in 2013. Because I knew the members of that congregation where I used to be associate pastor had the same problem. Looking down, being judgmental on sinners. I think there's a little bit of that maybe in all of us that creeps up from time to time. Enough law. Time for the gospel. Listen to the effect the good news had on those sinners. Three experiences from Luke 15. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. First of all, you and I are rejoicing because of the fact that we have been found. Jesus found us sinners. None of us is perfect. Right? And we are part, blessed to be part of his family, the faithful, blessed Savior, or if you're visiting some other Christian church. We're rejoicing also for the other lost sinners who have come to recognize their sin and seek Jesus for help, just like we have. And thirdly, we're rejoicing for the opportunities that we have to learn more about what Jesus says to all of us sinners as those sinners long ago. We have opportunities to share with one another the love and acceptance that Jesus has taught us and has shown us, even as we do in our marriages, in our families, with our children and grandchildren. If you think the Bible is full of perfect people, you're wrong. Let me give you some examples. St. Paul, who wrote more books than anyone else in the Bible, called himself the foremost of sinners, the worst of the worst. And Abraham, the father of the Hebrew people, was ready to give his own wife to Pharaoh to escape the possibility of death. What was he thinking? Jacob, whose name means conniver, lived up to, or I guess I should say lived down to it. And David, who was known as a man after God's own heart, was a murderous adulterer. Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, denied knowing Jesus with a curse. My friends, just like them, we're guilty of sin and wrongdoing. We're in the same boat, the same family, the Christian church. A reporter once asked the great evangelist Dwight W. Moody, what people gave him the most trouble? Immediately he answered, I've had more trouble with Dwight W. Moody than any other man alive. And if we're honest, we could probably agree. We have more problems, more trouble with ourselves and our sins than any other person. Each of us needs to be drawn again and again to Jesus, the Savior of sinners, who comforts us all with his saving words and actions. Imagine what it was like for sinners and tax collectors to not only have been drawn to Jesus, but to have actually heard those words that he gave. He forgave them. He accepted them. He cared for them. What relief and comfort and joy his words, his expressions, his presence must have given them. Jesus had found them. And Jesus told them that they were deeply loved and valued, precious in his sight, as he tells each one of us here this morning. They were home. We're home. We're with family. It must have sounded good to them. And it is for us true. Draw near to Jesus weekly and daily, and he will convince you by his Spirit of this truth. This truth received when you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He did it for you. And now go and share that love with others. And the people of God said, Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting in heaven. Amen.